Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
The broken clock gives a comfort. It helps me sleep tonight. Maybe it can't stop tomorrow from stealing all my time. And I am here still waiting. I still have my doubts. I am damaged at best, like you've already figured out. I'm falling apart, I'm barely breathing, with a broken heart that's still beating. And the pain, there is.
Well, there has been another shooting at Fort Hood Military Base, and this was yesterday. 4 are confirmed dead and 16 injured. Now, this time an Iraq war veteran, and we're really just beginning to kind of piece together his profile. And I was trying to remember, you know, Curtis, when time flies, I'm telling you. When this, this happened, it's a sad situation we're having to talk about again, because, you know, this happened back in 2009. So I went back to look that up, and it was actually November the 5th, 2009, that Nadal Hassan, he killed 13, wounded 30 others. And this will be our opening story for this evening. Thank you for listening to us tonight for another edition here on Graceland on Conservative Nation Media. Now, I'm your host, Jennifer Meadows, along with author Curtis Meng. Now, our guest for this evening is going to be Christopher Agee. He's a senior staff writer for the Western Center for Journalism. And tonight we're going to be discussing a couple of, a few articles that he's written recently. The most outrageous and, I guess, and I hate to say favorite because it is such a negative thing, but the most outrageous story is titled, If You're an NRA Member, Then This Particular Liberal. Now, we don't want to let this out of the cat out of the bag. I'm sure most of our listeners probably already know. But this particular liberal wants you to be slaughtered. Yes, and that's really showing some tolerance there from the loving liberals that we all talk about so frequently. So, but, you know, Curtis, I can't believe, so here we are again, another situation at Fort Hood. So tell us about how this happened. How did this whole thing come about yesterday?
Well, as you mentioned, there are four dead and 16 wounded in the shooting. The alleged shooter is Ivan Lopez, a 34-year-old married father, been in the service for a few years, spent 4 months in Iraq, I guess, in 2011, essentially as a driver. I don't think, you know, there was any combat going on at the time, but, you know, being in Iraq and such as a military personnel from the United States, I'm sure it's still a stressful situation. He reportedly suffered from anxiety, depression, perhaps even PTSD. We don't really know yet, and I'm sure a lot will come out in the next few days. But he arrived on the base and you know, began firing. And this is a different situation than the Nadal Hassan murder spree from 5 years ago. In that. Near as we can tell at this point, based on the reports, he had no particular axe to grind against any one individual. Certainly does not appear at this point to be in any way terrorist-related. But I guess he had some beef with some of the authorities on the base because his grandfather and mother died within a short time of each other last fall. And I guess there were some issues about whether or not he could attend the funerals. So he had a bit of a grievance there, I suppose, although I understand
that's
he did
what I couldn't understand. I couldn't understand how this had to do with his mother and grandfather that passed away recently. I didn't ever. So that's what it was. He was mad. Speculative at this point, but mad, you know, that he couldn't attend their funerals. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there is some kind of a grievance there, although, you know, from what I've read, it sounds like or appeared that he did attend at least his mother's funeral, or at least had time off to do so. Whether or not he attended, I don't know. But, you know, he appears, based on reports, to have had some mental illness or at least some mental instability, and was being treated. You know, it's
and
another
you know what, and Curtis,
situation.
You know, I want to talk about that because, you know, let's talk about just like his profile. What we're discussing is a 34-year-old Iraq War veteran. However, he never saw actual combat, like you said, Curtis. He was married. He was also a father. And I did read that he was upset about deaths from a mother or grandfather. And you're saying that was back in the fall. I saw that. I also saw that he was on Ambien. I can tell you, years ago, I was on Ambien, and I'm going to tell you, not much Ambien, but you don't want to be on that stuff, I'm telling you. And I want to talk about some of these antidepressants. So we do know, it's been confirmed, he was depressed. He was also suffering from some anxiety issues. So not only was he on Ambien, but he was also on an antidepressant. And it's interesting, and that's really where I want to start off is, you know, we keep hearing this, and there was a Bloomberg article. It was actually back in January of this year. It was talking about military personnel and how basically those who were suffering from these types of mental illness, PTSD, depression, anxiety issues, should not be allowed to own a firearm. Now, I personally have a serious problem with that, and I find it interesting, or, you know, my conspiratorial brain starts kind of firing off, oh, isn't this convenient? We were just talking about this late last year and into this year, and here we have another incident. I don't think that's the answer. I think more guns is the answer, not less guns. That's what I think.
Well, I think, you know, this is at least the third incident since 2005 or 2009, excuse me, where military personnel on their own base have been killed, and so points out the bizarre logic or rationale of the folly of not allowing our military personnel to carry weapons on their base.
I liken it to this.
It's, you know, it's like operating a driver training school, but you don't allow either the instructor or the student driver to wear a seatbelt.
It makes no sense. Here you have this is a military base. You would expect people on a military base to be armed. That's what I would expect, and I think that's what should happen. Now, I was discussing earlier today when I was talking about this topic that it was actually during the Clinton administration where they basically decided to basically disarm military. And so military bases stateside now are gun-free zones. Now, mm-hmm. Is that the case, like if we were to go to a base in Iraq? Do you know that? Or Afghanistan?
I suspect our military bases overseas, that rule does not apply. I suspect they are armed.
Lord, I hope not.
You know, For a very valid reason, much like you know, there should be valid reasons for them to be armed here, and I think it further points out again the folly of locations, whether it be military bases, other governmental locations, you know, movie theaters, restaurants, schools that tout themselves as gun-free zones, one of the things it does is it advertises it those locations as gun-free zones, so that someone going in to intentionally inflict harm knows that they will not face retaliation in the form of armed people. And
you're right.
In this case,
I mean, I agree. I mean, it does. They're like magnets for these kinds of people. They're drawn to shopping malls that, you know, you can't carry guns, or you continue to see this kind of violence in states where you have very strict gun control, or cities like Chicago, Washington, D.C., where, you know, they know criminals, and this guy wasn't necessarily a criminal. He wasn't a criminal, but they know other people aren't armed, or they shouldn't be armed. So mm-hmm. they're kind of going in, and they know they're not going to be contested. So it's very easy. If you're looking for victims, it's easy to find them.
You're exactly right. And from what I have read, he didn't turn the gun on himself and kill himself until he was confronted by someone with a gun. And so
that bugs me, because here's the thing. I have never understood why people who are suicidal, and this is not probably a question we can answer, but why is it that they don't just go blow their head off or hang themselves or whatever they're going to do? Why do they always have to take a bunch of folks out with them? I can never understand that. If you're suicidal,
I don't understand that either, and you're right. We're not going to solve it here, and I suspect, you know, it's tough to get in the mind of someone like that, but they clearly don't have the correct order of things, and that the first order of business, if they do in fact intend on committing suicide, that should be their first order of business, not their last.
Now, how big of an issue, Curtis? Now, I mean, you know, obviously you and I, we're just talking here. I'm not, you know, a doctor or anything. But how big of an issue do you think it is that this person, that he was on an antidepressant and they are saying now, and I found an article here and it was in my stuff, they're calling it a concoction of psychiatric drugs that he was on. It was more than one thing. So do you think that played a big role?
Well, I think it's certainly possible. I'm not well versed enough to make a statement really one way or the other definitively, but certainly, and the concoction is probably a good term when you create a cocktail of drugs to try and balance someone's behavior. It may have other effects, other unintended effects, or you see ads for various drugs on television, and one of the things they do is they spout all of the possible side effects, and often they sound worse than whatever symptom they're trying to cure.
I mean, it's not funny, but it is funny, and I know I'm always talking to my husband about that, and we sit and laugh because it's like, you know, gosh, you know, give me whatever they're trying to solve, the side effects sound much worse. And
yeah.
You go back to last year, this Navy shipyard shooter, this Aaron Alexis that happened last year. We found out at the end of the day that he was also on an antidepressant. And what I'm trying to get to, Curtis, because I feel like what mainstream media, a lot of the media is going to do, they're immediately going to go to the post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, oh, he's a veteran. This is just another example, Curtis, of why we need to disarm our veterans. They're not mentally stable. They are suffering from combat stress and other things. And so they're going to use this as another reason to disarm our veterans. And I do not want that. In fact, you know, what I would like to see, let's disarm the Department of Homeland Security. How about that? How about let's disarm the NSA, which there was some more stuff that's come out in the last day or two. I would really like it if they quit listening to my telephone calls and, monitoring my emails. That's what I would like. I mean, we continue to see justification for things. And I think more guns, you know, having an open discussion about what happened, number one, but more guns in this situation would have solved the problem. We see this over and over and over again where a concealed carry person will have a gun on him and he will take someone out and basically completely keep a crime from taking place. So, you know, I don't know. This is kind of where I'm thinking media is going to go with this. But what do you think?
Well, I think you're certainly probably correct in that regard. But, you know, it just stands to reason that, you know, someone intent on going on a killing spree will no doubt find a way to obtain a weapon regardless of what the gun laws happen to be. So, you know, and this is a good example. You know, he obtained the gun legally, presumably, but he went to where there were few weapons. And so, you know, he stood a good chance of inflicting extreme harm on many before anything would happen to him. And, you know, setting aside Nadal Hassan, and, you know, that was not workplace violence, that was terrorism, you know, What you see in almost all of these other cases is someone with a mental problem, and it's not a matter of them having guns or not. It's a matter of how we are treating them or not treating them. And obviously, you know, whatever treatment they are getting in terms of a concoction of drugs. Even if it's working, only works as long as he's taking them and taking them correctly and as prescribed. If he stops taking them, well, all bets are off.
Well, and I would love to know, you know, like, who was he seeing? You know, was there some kind of therapy or counseling that was going along with this? Because, you know, drugs are never going to solve the answer. In fact, a lot of the time, these kinds of drugs do nothing but they exacerbate the problem. A lot of the times what they'll do is they'll make an individual more anxious. They'll also kind of numb them out where they really are not in their right mind. And so over and over again, we've seen these mass killers, and we'll take it back to, oh, okay, well, they were on these drugs. And, you know, I think it's time to really have a serious discussion about what's going on with the drug companies. Why are doctors prescribing so many of these medications when all they seem to be doing is making killers out of people? It's totally making people out of their mind. That, and then also I think we need to discuss, you know, this whole idea about gun-free zones. All it does is make people victims. The criminals, they've got the guns. So, you know, thank God I live in Mississippi and you're in Arizona, because we don't have to worry about that around here. But it's not good for people who are on our military bases. So definitely we need to continue this discussion, and hopefully we can pick this back up, this story back up on our show on Tuesday. And with that, we need to take a break, Curtis. But before we do that, I've got a message here. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance, but even if you're not from the Volunteer State, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee Mondays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And with that, Curtis, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Christopher Agee from Western Journalism. He's got a couple of, actually a few stories that we're going to be talking about, so please stick around for that. We will be back in just a few moments.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Yeah. What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Find a relaxed position to let go of the time you left your daughter's blouse in the dryer too long and it shrunk 4 sizes, or when you donated her private diary to the public library. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Just joining us this evening, this is Graceland here on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host here with Curtis Bang, and please give us a call if you want to weigh in on the discussion. I was actually going to give out our old number. It's 718-305-7176. We've been talking about the situation at Fort Hood. Hard to believe we've had another shooting there, and I think it's time for us to discuss, you know, we need more guns, not less guns. Why are our military bases gun-free zones? So that's what I want to talk about. So with that, Curtis, we've got Christopher Agee. He's our guest for this evening. He's here on the line. So let's get Christopher with us. Hey, Christopher, you there?
I'm here, yeah. Thanks.
All righty. Well, our guest for this evening is Christopher Agee. He's a senior staff writer for Western Journalism. Now, Chris has spent more than a decade working in newspaper and also in radio. He's the author of 2 books and is a frequent guest on shows, radio shows from across the country. Glad to have you back with us, Chris.
Thanks for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's kick off here. There was a big Supreme Court ruling yesterday. It was a big win for the First Amendment. So why don't you tell us about this article? Tell us about what happened yesterday.
Sure. Yes, it's a big win for the First Amendment. Unfortunately, it was a razor-thin margin. It was a 5-4 vote, but it came out in favor of what I think most...
Yeah, I'll take 5-4 with
yeah.
these folks.
Yeah, as long as it's the right direction. But yeah, they basically just they lifted the overall donation limit for supporting multiple candidates. Of course, the cap for individual donations is going to stay in place. And but you know, it just gives people the opportunity to spread contributions over an entire party, political action committees, individual candidates. This gives people a lot more freedom to express their their desires for the future of the country financially. And I, you know, I think that's the what free speech is all about, is being able to let people know who you support and to do so by helping their campaigns.
Amen. So what in the heck, the Obama administration, they were not too happy about this. So what was their problem with this whole thing?
Well, they their problem is that it's in favor of free speech, but they're not going to come out and say that. They basically said that it could lead to corruption, that people could find a way around the individual donation cap. But, I mean, corruption in politics, I don't think any Supreme Court ruling in one way or the other is going to put an end to that. So if people want to find a way, I mean, Leland, the rep in California, I think he kind of showed us that corruption can exist no matter what laws are in place. So, you know, this is just – it's something that's going to benefit Republican candidates, and the administration doesn't want that, especially with a highly contested election coming up.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Now, Christopher, I am here with Curtis Mang. I know Curtis has got a couple of questions. We're going to kind of do rapid fire, go through this little deal, and then we're going to move on to the next topic. So, Curtis, I know you got a couple of questions also. No pressure, though, Curtis. Can you hear me? Hey, Curtis, hello.
I'm here. Okay. Christopher,
all right, he ran to go get a – what did you do? Did you just go get a sandwich in the kitchen? Is that where you were?
My dogs were barking. I put myself on mute, so they're quiet.
I knew
now.
It was something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't hear it. Your dogs barking, so you did a great job.
that makes the first time, I think. Well, Christopher, I'm curious as to, you know, what really the rationale of the left is for opposing this, because, you know, as I look at it, my question is, you know, what makes an arbitrary limit on campaign contributions, you know, constitutional or unconstitutional? I mean, and obviously, you know, any limits they put on campaign contributions are just that, arbitrary.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, it's just a number that they pick that they think, you know, would benefit the powers that be. But Stephen Breyer actually wrote the dissenting opinion, and he basically insinuated that this is going to give undue power to the people with the biggest resources. Of course, you know, that's ridiculous, because I mean, nobody's saying you can't spend what money you do have. There's not a minimum. I mean, you can do what you can with what you have, and that's what this country was based on. You know, it's use your resources as you see fit. If you don't want to spend any money supporting a candidate, then keep it in your bank account. But if you feel that you can help a cause, help a candidate you like, help the party that you want to see, and that's either party. I mean, this can benefit Democrats just as much as Republicans, but they know that Republicans are fired up, especially in this political climate, and they don't want to give people that power, because the power of the purse is where it's all at. And it doesn't stifle free speech, as Justice Breyer said. It actually, in my opinion, encourages it.
I think you're absolutely right. And certainly anything that would encourage free speech ought to be looked at positively and favorably. And I suspect, and I'd like your opinion on this, I suspect that, you know, whether it's this or you know, other similar rulings that take away some of the limits on campaign spending, I suspect reduces some of the power of unions, and I presume that is maybe some of the things that kind of tweaks the Democrats a little bit.
Well, sure. Anytime you take any modicum of power away from unions, then they're going to be up in arms. But in reality, I mean, unions could benefit from this ruling too, if they were so inclined. I mean, it levels the playing field for anybody who's inclined to support a candidate or a PAC or a party. And
mm-hmm.
You know, it levels the playing field. That's what the left always says. They want a level playing field. Well, this is it. You know, if you don't have a limit, then everybody's playing on the same plane. And it seems like, in theory, that would be something that they'd be for.
So, well, they want to level the playing field as long as it tilts in their direction.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to somebody out on Twitter, and we've talked about this so many times, but just today about how, you know, Democrats and liberals, they love to claim, oh, we're the feeling ones, we're for the little guy, we're so tolerant, we're so feeling, but yet, you know, they're so tolerant and feeling and all this kind of stuff that they force us to make these kinds of decisions and different situation, but similar. And, you know, let's just take an example, Obamacare, you know. So this is so good for us that we're going to force you to take it, and that's typical of the liberals' mindset, you know. Whether you want it or not, here you go, you get it, and, you know, they want to pretend like they're for things like free speech and, you know, they're for women and minorities and gays and all this kind of stuff, but really when you start digging a little bit, it doesn't take you very long to realize they're really not, all those are tools to, you know, push their agenda.
Sure, and they're for freedom as long as it's as long as you make the right choice, and it's just a double standard in everything that they do. Harry Reid goes after the Koch brothers with both barrels all day long, but they ignore the power of the unions that go incredibly in their favor and just completely outnumber the spending that the Koch brothers or any conservative benefactor is capable of producing.
But, you know, and I will tell you, the media helps them so much in producing this kind of effect because, you know, just like you mentioned there, the Koch brothers. Well, you know, their name has just become mud thanks to the media. Now, we're smart enough to realize what's happening. But, you know, a lot of people, well, honestly, your average American doesn't even know who the hell they are, probably.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if you saw, I love Waters World that's on Fox on Bill O'Reilly. And just this past week, he went out, I think he was on a college campus, but I don't know. He was trying to even get people to name one senator, just one. And they couldn't come up with anything, not a McCain, not nothing. It's pretty sad, don't you think?
Yeah, it's pathetic. You know, they repeat... They repeat the talking points they want people to take home, and you know, Koch brothers, this and that, and all the. But the things that really matter, I mean, they completely give a pass to because they're not going to influence anybody to vote Democrat. So.
It's
well,
true.
And
it's really bad.
It's interesting you mentioned the Koch brothers because you know, their name is spelled K-O-C-H, but as you indicated, it's pronounced Koch. Although I think Harry Reid pronounces it evil billionaire bastard. So
true. It's part of that 1%, those evil 1%ers. All right, when we come back, Christopher, we're going to talk about this UN climate report. And I know actually Curtis has been studying this for many days because this is something he really likes. He's really into that whole global warming. I've been trying to tell him it's not true, Curtis. It's not true. So finally you're going to be able to straighten him out. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. But you are listening to Graceland this evening on Conservative Nation Media with Jennifer Meadows, Curtis Meng, and our guest for this evening is Christopher Agee from Western Journalism. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
You know it's okay to rock and roll and party. Just let someone else do the driving. Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors for RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive with someone else who's been drinking.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets makes super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Jennifer Meadows here with author Curtis Mang. This is Graceland coming to you live from Conservative Nation Media. Tonight our guest is Christopher Agee from the Center for Western Journalism. We're actually talking about a couple of his articles on Western journalism. We're just about getting ready to discuss this UN climate report. The title of that article was, Here's What Real Scientists Think of the UN Climate Report. And I actually didn't read this, but I know Curtis has studied it quite a bit. So I don't know, Curtis, you might want to jump in here because this is a topic he's very passionate about. So what exactly was the determination of the climate report? Is it that we're going to get hit by this giant tidal wave and it's going to be like Noah and we're going to all like be underwater? And I don't know. So I'm guessing you read what the determination was, Christopher.
Like you said, Curtis is probably more well-versed in the UN's take than I am. They listed a number of cataclysmic effects that they think are going to be caused by men and carbon dioxide and you know, things that have been around for millennia. But what I wrote about was another organization founded by an atmospheric physicist who has scientists around the globe who have signed on to his response. But he kind of takes each one of the assertions made by the United Nations committee and debunks it, or at least gives some context to what they said and lets people know why it's not quite as bad as the panel for climate change wants people to think.
So I'm going to be able to sleep better after you tell me this. So we're not going to get hit by a giant tidal wave or anything like that. So what was the outcome of all this that you found out here?
Well, you know, it's just, it kind of cemented my original assumption that this is just a lot of hogwash meant to increase government control over what people are free to do with their own lives. But he takes ideas like food scarcity, which they say that the increased global temperature is going to lead to crops dying and people starving to death. And he says that, you know, even if there is some rise in the global temperature, it's actually going to benefit food production. And he mentions that carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is not a deterrent to plant life. In fact, it actually aids in creating more plant life. And higher temperatures, even if they were to come, would actually decrease weather-related deaths. That right now people are dying from exposure to the cold, and there are things that he concedes to an extent what the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change asserts, but he had, like I said, he had some context that just tells you exactly what that means for mankind. It's not the apocalyptic event that the UN wants people to think.
Well, don't tell Hollywood, because they're really making some money off of this thing. So don't. Yeah. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not a fan of Hollywood. So please, we gotta just tear them down to the ground. I didn't go see. Have you seen Noah, the movie? I heard it was a total about global warming. Essentially.
No. I haven't seen it either.
Now, I've heard of a few people who have seen it. It's nothing like that was in the scripture, from what I hear. It's all about, it's very much environmental. It's all about, the fact that it's pretty much a global warming movie, saying whatever. And then, Noah herded the cattle onto the boat there, and they took off. So, I don't know, not going to see that movie, but what do you think, so what motivated this guy, you think? I know it's hard to get into the mind of anybody, and we really probably can't do that, but I'm just wondering, it's interesting, so what do you think possessed this dude to come forward and make these assertions, essentially?
Well, he founded his response group, the Non-Governmental Panel on Climate Change, several years ago, back in last decade, and he's been kind of ramping up to this for a while, and this is like a 1,000-page report that's just really, really detailed. And I think he's got the expertise to break down this stuff where people who know it's bunk or believe it's bunk aren't able to explain exactly why. He has the resources and the colleagues and people who are able to help him explain to the layman, and that's what he did. The UN uses all these scientific terms that some people, myself included, would probably have a difficulty muddling through, but he uses plain language and lets you know exactly what this means for people, and I think it's a service that he wants to provide for the growing number of people who are not falling for this climate change hocus.
Yeah, we're definitely not falling for it. Okay, so Curtis, so I know you've probably got a couple of questions also.
I do, and I think that the IPCC report should have been titled, "Hey, over here, pay attention to us," because I think they have to be more shrill and more apocalyptic, because as both of you said, people are just not buying into it anymore. And so, with each new report from the UN, I think, they get more extreme and more apocalyptic and so forth. But, one of the things that boggles my mind a little bit, and I'm coming at it from a layman's term, layman position naturally, but, it seems to me global warming, assuming it were to occur, would do a lot of things, but one of the things it would do would be to extend the growing season for crops. So how that then turns into fewer crops and less food, I'm not exactly sure how that logic works out.
Well, that's exactly the kind of thing this physicist put into his document, and he has plenty of qualified scientists who provided input, and that's exactly what they found. I mean, it's they take a nugget of truth. The UN takes a nugget of truth and just comes up with all these wild speculations, and they just keep repeating it. Like you said, every year it gets worse and worse. It's just like Obamacare, anything else they want the public to buy, they just keep pounding it into our brains. And I hear Al Gore's movie's getting a sequel, and it's just taking over everything, and you can't go anywhere without hearing the perils of climate change. And they won't call it global warming anymore, but that's what all of the cataclysmic events are based on, is a global warming. But they won't call it that because there's no evidence to support it, and it's so ridiculous. But some people, Hollywood especially, are so into it because it's the cause du jour of our generation.
You're absolutely right, and they changed from global warming to climate change because I think they realized that, hey, we can't find any global warming for the past few years, so we got to call it something else. But it is just mind-boggling to me that they keep peddling this stuff. Now, admittedly, climate is incredibly complex, and realistically, we don't know enough to make forecasts really, I think, one way or the other at this point. And clearly, the computer models have not been accurate for the past 15 or 20 years because they predicted global warming, and we have not had that. And so they want to profess their knowledge of climate, yet their track record isn't good.
Exactly. That's what this report also hit on, was that, and it's something that laymen like us have been saying for years too, is that climate is cyclical. I mean, we've been through all this before, with or without man-caused carbon dioxide emission or any of this. And he said, talking about rising sea levels, the sea levels were actually higher during the last moderate ice age we went through. I mean, there's no way to predict what's going to happen on this earth. I mean, it's all coming in waves, and we're going to.
But you know what, Christopher? I think that's what their problem is. I think it's the fact that so many Democrats they're control freaks, and it's driving them crazy because they're like, okay, how do we control weather? How do we control hurricanes? How do we keep tornadoes from happening? What do we need to do? I read the story. This was I don't know, it's been within the last month and a half or so. They were talking about hurricanes hitting the southern part of the United States. You know, we saw a bunch of big hurricanes that came in year after year back in 2004, 2005, 2006. Katrina was one of those that hit the Gulf. And they were talking about putting these gigantic turbines all along. If you saw that, it's insane. And so the turbines would be made out of some kind of metal. Can't you just see a hurricane coming in there and just, blowing the hell out of that whole thing? Stupid. You know, we can't control weather. That's for powers that be, God or whatever you want to call it, whatever is up there controlling everything. We can't control these things. And, you get into this whole, basically it's like the whole climate deal has become almost a religion. They teach it in schools, starting even at kindergarten level, and I think it's ridiculous. We call this thing weather, and we just need to move on from there and realize, like your article states, that this is nothing but a mechanism to control people, to control business. And just like was let's see, what month was that the Antarctic group was caught in the ice because they were out looking for basically to disprove, or actually it was actually looking to prove climate change, man-made climate change, and they got caught in the ice. Was that December?
That, I think, was December, yeah.
See, God was trying to tell them something. It's like, stop looking for me. I'm up here. So, and then they got caught in the ice, and they were stuck there for a month. So, anyway, with that, let's take a break right here. And when we come back, Christopher, we're going to talk about the explosive article about the NRA. This was he's actually a radio show host, Mike Malloy, made this comment about how NRA members should be slaughtered. And so we're going to talk about that when we come back, so stick around. We will be back in just a few moments.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America.
That's TN4Action.com to stand for America Now.
You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party. Just let someone else do the driving. Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors for RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive with someone else who's been drinking.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Bring on through, bring on through.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Graceland here on Conservative Nation Media. I am your host, Jennifer Meadows, here with author Curtis Mang. Tonight our guest is Christopher Agee, and he is from the Western Center for Journalism. And tonight we're talking about a couple of his articles that he's written here recently. And just because we're short on time, let's get straight to our next topic. And it was titled, If You Are an NRA Member, this particular liberal is saying you need to be slaughtered. So what in the hell is going on with this, Christopher? Tell us about it.
Well, this is Mike Malloy, and anybody who's familiar with him knows he's just a vulgar piece of garbage. And the fact that he can get a dozen people to listen to him on any given night is astounding to me. But he came out this past week. He's just been on a tear about the National Rifle Association. He started a few nights ago with this threat. I don't know, a threat or a promise. He made an invitation to some anonymous NRA member to come down to Georgia and bring his gun, or don't bring your gun, I'll have my gun and I'll shoot you. Making a really absurd reference to stand your ground laws, saying just the fact that you're here, well, I'll feel threatened and that'll give me a right to shoot you, as if that's what the stand your ground law is. I mean, it just shows complete stupidity on his part that anybody, first of all, thinks that about that particular law, and second of all, that anybody in the NRA is afraid of this lunatic. I mean, I can't say enough bad things about this guy. This is the same guy that fantasized about stabbing Ted Cruz and Michael Lee to death late last year. I mean, he just has no boundaries. He is one of the most incendiary voices on the left, and that's saying a lot in this political climate.
Well, you know what surprises me is, well, it doesn't surprise me, let me just rephrase that, but they can get away with saying stuff like this. If somebody on the right were to say this, oh my God, it would just be, it would just be a massive deal. And so they can get away with saying these kind of things. We've heard we need to kill people, we need to take them out in the ocean and drown them. We've heard all kinds of things from the left, and that's okay. They can do that. They get away with that. They're so tolerant. They're so peaceful. They're so loving. So here we have, you know, a radio show host who's sitting there talking about all, you know, NRA members need to be taken out and slaughtered. And so with that, Curtis, jump in here and let's just talk about this tolerance and love from the left. It just goes on and on and on.
Well, I think, and I don't know this guy, and I have not listened to him, and, you know, I'm somewhat bothered by the fact that we're even giving him some time on the show. However, you know, it's interesting that, Christopher, you mentioned that he, last year, had to talk about a fantasy of fatally stabbing Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. So apparently, even if there were no guns, he still has weapons of choice that he could use to inflict pain and anguish on others anyway. So apparently, guns are not the problem, since he can look for other means.
Yeah, he kind of proved our point for us, didn't he? But he didn't stop there. I mean, a couple of nights after that absurd rant, he compared the NRA to Nazi brown shirts, and then went on a rant about how they ended up being dumped dead in a ditch, and he couldn't wait for the same thing to happen to Second Amendment supporters in America. So I mean, it wasn't enough for him to threaten death on one. He came back a few days later and threatened and wished they would all die. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, he needs to
learn what this whole argument about the guns and not have. You know, here's what happened with the whole brown shirts thing. You know, what happened was the people over and over again, you can look through societies that have fallen to authoritarianism. They give up their guns, and then the people come in and they shoot them and they die. It doesn't happen because they're NRA members. Okay, they're like, oh, let's go out and kill all the NRA members. That's not what happened. What happened is the people with the guns shot the people that don't have the guns. Simple as that. And so Mike Malloy needs to learn his history. Obviously doesn't know. It's the exact opposite of what he's saying.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I have to wonder if he perhaps knows the famous now famous gun control advocate from California, Christopher, you mentioned earlier, Leland Yee, who has been now charged by the FBI with gun trafficking. So, you know, that's an interesting juxtaposition there.
Yeah, hypocrisy is the forte of today's left, unfortunately.
You got that right.
Yeah, it's very and then what you just said a minute ago there, Curtis, you know, let's say we took up all the guns. Well, then they're not going to stop there. It's going to be knives, and then it's going to be forks and spoons, and you know, and then I guess we'll be eating with our hands. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, you know, they just, there's no end to this. Once you continue to give in to them, they just keep taking and taking. So I'm glad we covered this story, though, because it just shows the hypocrisy, and not just that, but the vileness of the left. And we only have a few minutes, but speaking of tolerance, I wanted to interject this story because I just saw it, and it kind of goes along. Mozilla's CEO was fired today, speaking of tolerance and caring and love and that kind of thing. And the reason he was let go was because of his opposition to gay marriage. So it was the CEO, his name was Brendan, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, do you know?
I don't.
Is it Ike? It's E-I-C-H, anyway. Yeah, he's a goner. Yep, he didn't like the whole gay situation, so we just can't deal with that. With that, Christopher, we're going to have to let you go, but please, I love having you on the show this evening, by the way, and please tell our listeners where they can follow you and also read your articles.
Well, check out westernjournalism.com. I'm putting articles up there all day long. We have a lot of other contributors that add good content that you're not going to find anywhere else. And you can check out my blog at The Informed Conservative, and it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, and then also if you're out on Twitter, you can find him at BCAGEE, BCAGEE. And Christopher, thanks for coming on this evening.
Thanks,
my pleasure. Thanks.
All right, take care. All right, Curtis, we got about a minute left, so I'm going to let you tell our listeners where they can follow you, and then we're going to wrap up for tonight.
Okay, thanks, Jennifer. My website is mangwrites.com. That's MANGWRITES. I've got both of my books available there. I also have links to a number of my blogs posts there and elsewhere. Also links to our program. And my books are also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
There you go. And when I'm not here Thursday nights, 9 to 10, Graceland Conservative Nation Media, you can find me on Tuesday, 8 to 10 p.m. here on Conservative Nation for Grit and Grace. Curtis will be there, Lisa Richards, and my other friend Charles Johnson. So please look for us there. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Graceland, and thank you to Christopher Agee, senior writer for the Western Journalism. So thanks for being with us this evening, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night, folks.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now. Backbeat, the word is on the street.